Early on in my tenure as a police sergeant and squad supervisor, on December the 26th, 1990, the day after Christmas, I, along with our chief of police and dozens of fellow police officers, somberly gathered at the Christ Church, a 300-year-old Episcopal church near Leonardtown in St. Mary's County, Maryland, to lay to rest Fred Wolfert, one of my rookie officers who had recently graduated from the academy, who 4 days before Christmas had suffered a traumatic head injury that resulted in his death a day later. As tragic as that was itself, what touched me to the core was the fact that we were burying Fred in that ancient church cemetery next to his younger brother Patrick, who had died about 3 years earlier when his vehicle was struck by a drunk driver. Fred and Patrick were the only children the Wolferts had. And as we stood in that cemetery next to Fred's casket, paying our final respects, I was never so moved in looking into the faces of his grieving parents who were now enduring the unthinkable loss of a second son, the last of their children. My heart and my soul were moved with profound compassion. It wasn't mere sympathy, but compassion. For at some level, I was sharing in this loss, in the grief and the tragedy of the moment. And for Fred's parents, there was a great comfort and gratitude of heart that they were not enduring this alone. Without a doubt, these people of the Christian faith were in the midst of unfathomable grief and tragedy, encountering the compassion of Christ. The compassion of Christ as embodied in the many fellow parishioners, family members, friends, and fellow police officers with Fred who stood alongside the Wolferts in their darkest hour and wept and prayed with them. The compassion of Christ is indeed what sustains us in a world of suffering, in a life that is sometimes stricken with unspeakable tragedy, disease, pain, and bitter tears. The compassion of Christ is the manifestation of a God who knows our suffering, who hears our cries, who indeed joins us in our suffering. The compassion of Christ is born out of a God who is merciful and who enters our suffering. While the entirety of Christ's ministry is a ministry of compassion, in our gospel lesson this morning from Mark chapter 8 in the account of the feeding of the 4,000, we see one of several examples which is recorded in Scripture of our Lord being moved with compassion. And in Mark chapter 8, the evangelist records this beginning in verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Jesus had compassion on this multitude of people. Now we know how it is if we miss a couple of meals or even a full day of fasting. But imagine not having anything to eat for 3 days. 3 days and having walked everywhere, in some cases walked many miles. And Jesus knew that if he sent them away after having fasted and walking many miles, that they would have become faint. Jesus in recognizing their suffering at a physical level, their hunger, showed compassion. Compassion. The compassion of Christ. Now, the very word compassion derives from the Latin word compassio, which literally means to suffer with. To suffer with. Compassion literally means to suffer with. You see, compassion transcends sympathy and empathy, which are feelings, and in the case of empathy, also understanding of the feelings of another. But compassion is the ability and willingness to enter in to the suffering of another. Expressions of sympathy can be cheap and easy and can remain at the superficial level. But true compassion goes beyond sharing of the feelings of another who is suffering and to actually enter into the suffering of the other. Compassion is the language of love in action, in concert with the suffering of the other. And out of it comes not mere words of sympathy, which can be superficial, but acts of mercy and charity, acts of sacrifice. But to have true compassion expresses a willingness to enter into that suffering, to live sacrificially, to give up our own personal desires and agendas and aspirations and creature comforts and convenience of life in order to be a willing participant in the suffering of another. The feeding of the 4,000 represents an icon of what true compassion looks like. It presents to us a very powerful image of the mercy of God, but we've got to look at it at a little deeper level. First, there is the wilderness motif in verse 4 of that account, in which the disciples say to him, "How can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness?" The wilderness. Now make no mistake, those who would have read or heard this gospel would have understood that this harkened back to the wilderness motif of Israel. That despite Israel's rebellion, despite their stiff-necked ways and their turning from God during their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness following their exodus from bondage, God in His mercy, God in His compassion, fed them with manna, with bread from heaven. Like the feeding of the 5,000, this event is a type of the Eucharistic love of God in Christ, who is the bread of life, who is the manna from heaven, which satisfies. But the feeding of the 4,000, in contrast to the feeding of the 5,000, which occurred in the land of the Jewish people, in the land of Israel, the feeding of the 4,000 differs in that it takes place in the land of the Gentiles, in the region of the Gentiles, because it demonstrates the compassion of God, the heart of God, not only for the people of Israel, but for all people, for all nations. A universal love and compassion for humanity. The compassion of Christ in this case points to and portends a divine heart that would be enacted in His own passion, in the suffering of our Lord, in giving His very life upon the cross, and allowing His body to be broken and His precious blood shed for the life of the world. We see this in the Eucharistic formulas of the feeding of the 4,000 as well as in the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus takes bread and He blesses it and He breaks it and He gives it to His disciples for distribution. And there's a miraculous multiplication of those gifts. It is a picture of a life of grace, of a life of mercy, of the gifts of God to the people of God who are not deserving of that gift. The gift of God to a people who have rebelled, who have turned from Him time and time again, who are broken, who have fallen. And yet, God in Christ enters our suffering in order that He may redeem it. So the compassion of Christ is grounded in the Eucharistic act of divine love and mercy, so that as St. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Such that the compassion of Christ is an entering into the suffering of the world in order to redeem it, in order to break the curse of Adam, and to allow us the ability to transcend the temporary grief and suffering and sorrow that we endure in this life. One of the Gospels that I often preach at funerals is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter, in the raising of the widow's son at Nain. Luke records, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 7, "Now it happened the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near to the city of the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' So he who was dead sat up and began, and he presented him to his mother." If you were to go on and read the account, the people who were there who witnessed this act of compassion, this act of Jesus entering into the sorrow and suffering of a grieving mother, a widow, in his response of love and raising this young man to life, the people respond, God has visited his people. God has visited his people. You see, the incarnation itself, Emmanuel, God with us, is an act of compassion and breaking the bonds of death and bringing us into a life of resurrection. The compassion of Christ is an expression of the divine heart and mercy of God. It is an entering into the suffering of this life in order to redeem it, in order to bring us from death into life, from despair into hope, from darkness into light, from defeat into victory. All by means of him who suffered, who through death became the resurrection and life for all who believe. And by grace we share in that reality, in the compassion of Christ, in the victory over sin and death and suffering. We become recipients of that gift. And yet we also, as believers, minister that gift. We as a church make visible and manifest and concrete that compassion of our Lord. Yesterday evening, I had the opportunity to travel up to Harrisburg to the hospital to visit Gilbert Kelbaugh. And Gilbert is certainly appreciative of our prayers on behalf of him. But in talking to Gilbert Friday night on the phone, I knew that he had a pretty rough day, but he didn't really elaborate. And arriving at the hospital yesterday evening, he began to share with me how he had a much better day. And he said, "Father James," he said, "I didn't tell you, but when you called me and when you prayed with me on the phone," he said, my arm was blown up. It was like a balloon, and it was hurting. It was swollen, and it seemed that the last couple days the antibiotics had hit a plateau, and that swelling just was not, and the pain was just not subsiding. But he said, but don't you know, 20 minutes after you called me and after you prayed with me on the phone, he said, that swelling just suddenly subsided. He said, it just lifted from my arm. And I think it's a testimony, not of anything that I did, but of the compassion of our Lord, the gift of grace, the gift of healing and bringing about not only the healing of an arm, not only the healing of our physical maladies, but the healing of our soul. We are called to the ministry of compassion. The compassion of Christ. St. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. And then in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know what the law of Christ is? To bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's burdens. To show the divine love of God. To show the compassion of Christ. To minister the compassion of Christ. That is the fulfillment of the law of God. And yet, in our own piety and our own Christian faith, especially as we see the militancy against the Christian faith in our society as it's becoming more and more secular, as it's becoming more and more anti-Christian, there are times in which we can become angry, in which we can become, draw battle lines and see the other as the enemy. I have to confess, I began to think this way myself when I saw a couple of the news stories this past week of one, the bakers who had refused to do a wedding cake for a same-sex couple and the people were awarded $135,000. They were ordered, this couple awarded to pay $135,000 to this aggrieved same-sex couple. And you can become angry. And then another homosexual man who has filed a lawsuit against three major Bible publishers because the translation of the Bible places homosexuality in a bad light. And we could go on and look at these things, whether it's the militant homosexual agenda, whether it's Islam, or whether it's just human secularism that's looking to root out our faith in a society. We don't win the world over by trying to commit biblical assault, by trying to argue with them in argue them into the kingdom of heaven. Rather, we, through the Holy Spirit, through the church, win the world over through the language of God's love, through the compassion of Christ. Patrick Green, a taxi cab driver in Athens, Texas, was a committed atheist who, late in 2011, filed a lawsuit in Henderson County, Texas, to remove a nativity scene that was on display in the public square. He was rabid about this. But he soon, after filing the lawsuit, Patrick soon began to lose his vision. A combination of cataracts and symptoms of a detached retina caused him to no longer be able to earn a living by driving his cab. And so his passion for continuing with this lawsuit really kind of waned and as he fell on financial hard times. But a local Christian woman by the name of Jessica Cry heard about this atheist man's plight, the suffering that he was going through. And so Jessica launched a campaign to begin to raise money for Patrick. Not only raise money for him, but to pray for his healing. And Patrick, in learning of this woman's compassion for him, began to go back to the Bible again. You see, he was a lapsed Catholic who had become atheist. And in returning to the Bible of his youth, he began to encounter Christ, not only in the words of Scripture, not only in the printed Word of God, but the Word of God being lived out in a very real way by a woman who made manifest the compassion of our Lord for him who was her enemy. This is the gospel. This fulfills the law of Christ. To make visible, to make manifest the compassion of our Lord. To enter into the suffering of the world wherever we are in order that we might bring the world to the hope of the gospel. To bring them to freedom from the bondage of sin and death. That even as they continue to suffer, perhaps physically, they may know a life in Christ, an abundant life, a life everlasting, in the hope, in the assurance of Christ who died and Christ who rose again, that we might know for ourselves the compassion of Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.